Today I'm going to focus on some tax court settlement days that took place in both San Francisco and Kansas City that I was a part of. These were great events for helping taxpayers. I thought they were quite successful. So thank you for tuning in.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
At this point, there have been several tax court settlement days across the country. We tried to have one in Kansas City earlier this year, but it was just after the government shutdown, so while we sent out letters to taxpayers, no one showed up. This time we had a more successful one, but actually the week before, while I was at the American Bar Association Section of Taxation meeting, the fall meeting in San Francisco, they held a tax court settlement day in conjunction with the conference. So it was heavily promoted by Amy Spivey, and I recorded some audio close to my recount of the fall tax meeting, so we will turn to that first. But I'm going to turn back to an event on Thursday evening that Amy Spivey is the supervising attorney of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at the Justice and Diversity Center of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and she coordinated in conjunction with the fall tax meeting, and I believe it was Susan Morgenstern as the pro bono and tax clinic committee chair. She was saying that since we are having the various attorneys coming together in town, then why not do a pro bono event? So that is what happened. There was a tax clinic on Thursday evening. I don't know the total count, but I'd heard somewhere of 18 clients coming in. I think there was a similar amount of volunteers. Now, while there were several low-income taxpayer clinic people who were there, I saw other private practitioners, so there was a good representation. I thought it was a successful event. It was scheduled from 5 to 7, but I wound up being there past 8 o'clock, helping a elderly woman who came in with her two adult daughters. The focus wound up being beyond tax court, that it was helping different individuals with their tax problems. So this woman was on a payment plan of $100 that she could not afford. We were able to, first I advised her, and then we took her to meet with the Taxpayer Advocate Service. They had three representatives there who they looked up her transcripts. They were going to cancel her payment plan with the IRS. And between us, we were giving her advice on, well, her and her daughter's advice on getting her into currently not collectible status and then doing an offer in compromise. So I thought it was a great service being provided there, and I'm sure several of the others had great stories to tell as well. Now, adding to what I said about the person I helped, she was elderly. Her husband has dementia, so I don't think that he was even helpful in helping them to figure out their financial situation. The woman was doing some tutoring as a way of making extra income. The housing that she and her husband lived in was based off her Social Security income, that the majority of it went to rent and some utilities. I believe there were some extra utilities owed, but roughly her and her husband had $300 a month as extra spending money. And I think that one of her adult daughters, who was taking care of the finances, was paying some of the extra utilities, but that elderly couple, they were on a $100 a month payment plan with the IRS, and I talked them through about collection alternatives, but it was good that the Taxpayer Advocate Service was available to not only give us an idea of what kind of payments were made, what the status was with the payment history, and how much she still owed, but also able to get the payment plan canceled and help them on the road to currently not collectible status, and eventually an offer and compromise, that it sounded like the situation for her husband's medical condition and just their financial condition, I would think, should be sympathetic so that they could provide a low offer to the IRS and perhaps get their full tax liability settled with the IRS. Now, during the San Francisco tax court settlement day, I was watching to see just how everything occurred, watching Amy Spivey working with the taxpayers and the IRS, coordinating the volunteers. And one issue was that this was hosted by a local law firm in San Francisco, so we had a certain amount of rooms that we could use, but beyond that, we did not have too many places where people could meet with the taxpayers and discuss their cases. So since we had our own tax court settlement day coming up in Kansas City, that was one thing I was mindful of, to make sure that we had enough rooms available for people to meet with the taxpayers. And another item is I found out that Amy had been making several phone calls over the 2 weeks prior to the tax court settlement day in San Francisco. So like I was saying, there were people who came in with collection issues. They were not just tax court issues, but some of the intakes from her clinic came in. Some people at a local resource, a local nonprofit, had been contacted. And so there were just a variety of people who were notified and came in for the tax court settlement day in San Francisco. So when I returned, I had roughly a week, and I was not sure how many extra people to contact about the settlement day. So we waited to hear exactly what response there would be from the taxpayers who received their notifications from local IRS counsel. At first, it didn't seem like there would be anyone showing up to the settlement day once again, but it turned out that one person had been in contact with IRS counsel who said he would show up for the settlement day, and then another person, he was saying he found the letter on the day before, and he contacted the Kansas Legal Services Central Int, and they notified me, so I was able to look up his docket and be prepared for him coming in. So one thing I was worried about is it was whether it would be the same person who contacted both of us, but it turned out that there were two different people who showed up. So there was an elderly gentleman whose wife has cancer that he was dealing with an assessment regarding that both of his in-laws had passed away. He was not sure of the date of death for a step-up in basis, or mother-in-law who transferred the stock to her, what the name of his father-in-law was, when the date of death was. He knew they had lived in Iowa, and he had been with his wife since 1990, so he figured that his father-in-law died roughly in the 1970s or 1980s. But frankly, the further back in time we went, the more likely it was that the stock basis went down in price, which would be a worse fact for him. So eventually, the IRS was proposing a $10 basis for the stock. It was unclear whether, like his accountant was saying, that these were just internal transfers, but perhaps the wife had been making some sales of stock. And I helped some in the negotiation by communicating back and forth between the clinicians and this individual taxpayer and the IRS counsel. But then at some point, the other taxpayer showed up and I got involved with those negotiations. And this wound up being a husband and wife that showed up. The husband, his issue was that it first looked as if there was a transfer of a retirement account, that it was not timely transferred, but it turned out that was partly the issue, where the individual did receive a payout of roughly $3,500. So that part, there wasn't any argument about his taxability. But what he thought the issue regarding a different transfer was actually that it was a loan he had taken out against his retirement account, that it was, when it was transferred from one retirement company to another, then that loan was actually defaulted. So in essence, he had cancellation of debt, the forgiveness of the loan. He had that as income coming in. It wasn't entirely clear whether the company he was working for went out of business, or perhaps one of the retirement companies went out of business, but it turned out that his retirement account was being transferred from one company to another, and it sounds like there was perhaps a mismanagement of the funds. So the married couple wasn't quite happy about that, but we advised him that it looked like there wasn't any getting around the taxability of the cancellation of debt, the forgiveness of the debt, that income. But still, I think for both taxpayers, the local council was offering some degree of incentive to settle, that they could have just strictly stuck with a hard line, but I think they did offer some incentive to settle on that day, which was, we still have a week between the tax court settlement day and the calendar call for tax court. So roughly getting it settled a week and a half before a trial, that was the incentive. And I think it worked out, because we had both of the taxpayers leaving with their settlement documents to review, sign, and get back to the IRS. So I was grateful that we had the cooperation of IRS counsel and the Kansas City Tax Clinics, the Legal Aid of Western Missouri Tax Clinic. They had two attorneys there. They had one attorney from the University of Missouri Kansas City School of Law. Their clinic is the Kansas City Tax Clinic, and then the Kansas Legal Services Tax Clinic, where I was there with my volunteer who is an enrolled agent. So overall, it's my understanding from the American Bar Association May meeting that the IRS is happy that there is participation by taxpayers, that there are settlements, that there are negotiations at these tax court settlement days, that it is happening, that they're not necessarily looking at the numbers. Because while we did send out a good amount of letters that the IRS counsel sent, it was roughly 10% of a response rate that showed up for our settlement day. But overall, I think it was great that there was cooperation, that there was good participation by everyone involved. And so coming up the week of October 21, there will be 3 days of tax court in Kansas City, Missouri, and then 2 days of tax court in Wichita, Kansas. Both of those are cities that I cover from my clinic, and the other two Kansas City clinics will be at Kansas City, Missouri. So we will try and assist the unrepresented petitioners with consultations during the beginning of the calendars for each session. But it certainly helps if they show up earlier to the tax court settlement days, that I think the IRS is more willing to negotiate when it is earlier in the process. So I wanted to give you an update on what has been happening with tax court settlement days in both San Francisco and Kansas City. I think these were great efforts that we took by both the various attorneys, the tax clinics, the American Bar Association, and IRS counsel with the Taxpayer Advocate Service. All of those involved, I think, made both settlement days a success. So hopefully you gained some tips for holding a tax court settlement day in your city, or can put them to use in another way, helping your local taxpayers. So thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic Program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.